Have you ever like seen something on the curb and thought someone just like chucked it out? You know, some furniture or building materials or even like perfectly good clothes. What if you took it, you know, thinking it was free for the taking, but it turned out someone was still planning on using it? Could you actually get arrested for stealing something, even if you genuinely thought it was abandoned?
Absolutely. That's a question that gets right to like the heart of intent in criminal law. And it's exactly what this fascinating California case, People v. Waldo Navarro.
So what happened in this case?
So in Navarro, Waldo Navarro took some wooden beams from a construction site, believing they were abandoned, and he ended up getting charged with grand theft. Though ultimately he was convicted of the lesser charge of petty theft. But the case really revolved around whether he knew those beams belonged to someone else.
So it's not even about like whether he should have known better. It's about what was actually going on in his head.
Exactly. It's about his subjective belief.
That seems really tricky to prove.
It is, and you've hit on a key distinction in criminal law here. The difference between specific intent and general intent crimes.
Got it.
Theft, as we see in Navarro, is a specific intent crime. To get a conviction, the prosecution has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the accused intended to permanently deprive the owner of their property.
So they have to show that mens rea the guilty mind.
Exact. You got it.
So with the beams in Navarro, it's not enough to show that he just took them. The prosecution would have to convince the jury that he took them knowing they weren't abandoned and that he meant to keep them for himself.
Exactly. That's the extra layer of specific intent. Now, contrast that with a general intent crime like battery. The focus there is on the act itself. Did the accused intentionally make harmful or offensive contact? Their reasoning for doing so is less important.
So like if you bump into someone accidentally on a crowded street, you're probably not guilty of battery.
Probably not.
But if you like deliberately shove someone, even if you thought they were about to like spill their coffee on you, that could be battery.
That's battery because you intentionally made that contact.
Got it.
You see the difference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With general intent, the why matters less. Now, going back to Navarro, his defense relied on this legal concept called mistake effect. It basically means if you make a genuine mistake about a crucial fact, even if it seems unreasonable to others, it can negate that guilty mind that the prosecution needs for specific intent crimes.
So even if a quote-unquote reasonable person would have realized those beams weren't abandoned, if Navarro truly believed they were, it could negate the specific intent to steal.
That's the core of the argument. Like, imagine you borrowed your roommate's bike, genuinely believing that they said it was okay to borrow it, but they actually didn't. You might be annoying, but you're not a thief. That's why there's actually no such thing as larceny by negligence. You can't accidentally steal something just through, like, poor judgment. Navarro really emphasizes that what matters is the defendant's actual state of mind.
That makes sense. And there's another interesting point that comes up in Navarro about the jury instructions. The appeals court overturned the initial verdict because they said that the jury was told to consider if Navarro's belief was reasonable, not if it was genuinely what he believed.
It's subtle, but really important. That's a fantastic point, and it highlights how crucial the jury instructions are in cases like this. Defense attorneys need to be laser-focused on making sure those instructions accurately reflect this subjective belief element.
They need to make sure the jury understands they're judging the defendant's mind and not just their actions. This was create a real challenge for prosecutors on the flip side of this.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you prove what someone was actually thinking when they took something?
It's really tough.
What kind of evidence would be convincing enough to show that Navarro wasn't acting in good faith?
So that's where things get really interesting. And unfortunately, the Navarro opinion itself doesn't really delve into the specifics of the prosecution's case. But generally speaking, they would need to present evidence that directly contradicts the defendant's claim of a genuine mistake.
So, for example, they might try to show that Navarro had actually seen the construction crew working with those beams earlier that day, or that he like bragged to someone about getting free lumber.
They need something that like demonstrates he was aware the beams were not abandoned. And that could be witness testimony, documentation, or even something like showing a pattern of similar behavior from Navarro in the past. Their goal is to raise enough doubt about his mistake that the jury believes he was intentionally stealing.
This is making me think about all kinds of everyday situations where this idea of mistake of fact could come into play. What if you found a bike with a broken lock chained to a rack and you thought it was abandoned?
Okay.
Would taking it have any legal support from Navarro?
Now, that's a fascinating hypothetical, mm-hmm. and it gets right to the heart of how much Navarro can be applied to other situations.
It seems like the broken lock could make a difference, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it implies that no one's coming back for it. Mm-hmm. But would it be enough to convince a jury that you truly thought it was abandoned?
Right.
I mean, it's still chained up.
Yeah, that's where the line gets really blurry.
Yeah.
And it highlights, like, the limits of using Navarro as a blanket defense.
Okay.
The broken lock suggests the bike might be abandoned, but the chain adds another layer of complexity.
It makes you wonder what would have happened if those beams in Navarro hadn't been just sitting by the dumpster,
yeah.
but were like clearly stacked and marked as part of the project.
Mm.
Would the court have come to the same decision?
That's a great question. It's possible the court would have considered that level of organization as evidence that contradicted Navarro's claim of genuine belief.
Okay.
You know, it's all about context.
So this isn't just a case of finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Right.
You can't just assume that anything left unattended is, like, up for grabs.
Exactly. Navarro doesn't give you free rein to take whatever you want.
Right.
It emphasizes the importance of subjective belief, but the law still expects a reasonable degree of awareness and caution.
So it sounds like the big takeaway for me is even if you think something's abandoned,
yeah,
it's worth, like, taking a moment to really consider if that's really the case.
Definitely.
Look for signs of ownership or ask around or even err on the side of just leaving it alone.
Yeah, that's a prudent approach.
Okay.
And it might save you from some legal trouble down the road.
Right. It's like that old saying, better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
This whole discussion is really making me think about how often we might misjudge situations and maybe even unintentionally commit a crime. What about that classic scenario of finding a $20 bill on the sidewalk?
Oh, yeah.
Most people would probably just, like, pocket it without even thinking twice.
Right.
But what if someone saw you pick it up and then came, they dropped it?
Oh, that's a fantastic example.
Yeah.
And it illustrates perfectly how these legal principles can apply to everyday situations.
Right.
In that scenario, your defense would again hinge on your genuine belief that the money was lost, not dropped.
Okay.
But of course, proving that belief after the fact could be pretty tricky.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how much our own perceptions and biases influence these judgments.
You've hit the nail on the head.
What one person sees as clearly abandoned,
yeah,
another person might just see as misplaced.
Exactly. And that's what makes Navarro so compelling.
Mm.
It forces us to confront the subjectivity of perception and how it intersects with the law,
okay,
particularly when it comes to intent.
So what does Navarro ultimately tell us about the law?
Mm.
What should lawyers and even like everyday people take away from this case?
Well, I think Navarro reminds us that the law isn't just this set of rigid rules.
Right.
It's really a framework for navigating the complexities of human behavior and belief.
Okay.
And in specific intent, crimes like theft,
uh-huh,
it underscores that what matters is not just the act, but the thought behind the act.
It's a good reminder that justice is about more than just applying the letter of the law.
Right.
It also requires us to consider the individual state of mind.
Uh-huh.
And have a really nuanced understanding of intent.
Precisely. And Navarro also highlights the challenges both sides face in, like, proving or disproving intent.
Yeah.
For prosecutors, it emphasizes the need for compelling evidence that goes beyond just the mere act itself.
Okay.
And for defense attorneys, yeah, it underscores the importance of clearly articulating their client's subjective belief.
Right.
And ensuring the jury is properly instructed on that crucial element.
It seems like Navarro provides some valuable guidance for handling cases that involve specific intent.
It does.
But it also offers some broader insights into how the law grapples with the intricacies of human perception and belief.
Absolutely. It's a case that has implications far beyond just the realm of property crimes.
Yeah.
It prompts us to think critically about how we make judgments,
yeah,
the role of context in shaping those judgments,
right,
and the challenges of proving something as intangible as intent.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive into People v. Navarro.
It has.
It's made me realize that something as simple as taking something you think is abandoned can raise a whole host of legal complexities.
It certainly has. And I think it serves as a valuable reminder that understanding the nuances of intent,
yeah,
is crucial not just for lawyers,
mm-hmm,
but for anyone navigating the often blurry lines between what's permissible and what's not.
Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to start wrapping up this deep dive into People v. Navarro.
Okay.
And the fascinating legal questions it raises. But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought. So the next time you see something, just sitting on the curb, looking all free for the taking, maybe an old chair, some leftover lumber, even a perfectly good coat.
Hmm.
What would you do? Would you just like grab it without a second thought?
Right.
Or would you pause and consider if someone might still actually want it?
That's a great question to end on. I think People v. Navarro serves as a reminder that even in those situations where we feel pretty convinced something is abandoned, it's wise to proceed with at least a little bit of caution.
Right.
Maybe take a closer look, see if there are any signs of ownership.
Okay.
Or even like ask around if anyone knows who the items belong to.
It's like the legal version of measure twice, cut once.
I love that. That's a great way to put it.
A little due diligence can go a long way.
Absolutely.
To avoid those legal headaches later on.
While Navarro might offer some legal support,
right,
for those who genuinely believe they have a right to the property, it's certainly not a license to just take whatever you please.
Right. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for aspiring treasure hunters.
Exactly. The law still expects us to act reasonably and responsibly.
Hmm.
Thinking carefully about intent, even in these seemingly simple situations, can help us all stay on the right side of the law.
Well, I think this deep dive into People v. Navarro has been incredibly illuminating.
It has been.
It's really shed light on the complexities of intent.
Yeah.
The importance of subjective belief.
Uh-huh.
And the potential pitfalls of just making assumptions about abandoned property.
Couldn't agree more. It's a case that really underscores the importance of careful consideration, both for individuals navigating everyday situations and for legal professionals handling cases where intent is a critical factor.
To all our listeners out there, we hope you've enjoyed this exploration of People v. Navarro and the really intriguing legal questions it raises.
Definitely.
Remember, the law is a fascinating and ever-evolving field, and we're here to help you navigate its complexities.
Oh.
Absolutely. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and as always, thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.